The biggest injustice in leadership is people being in leadership positions and not knowing why. Our next speaker shared this resounding quote with us within the first 20 minutes of meeting our team. And for the next hour, my teammates and I had our pens buried in our notebooks and our eyes locked on him as he shared his passion for agriculture and feeding the world. After only a short time together, my team and I were motivated and inspired to serve in the same way that he had been. He is the president of Elanco, the animal health division of Eli Lilly and Company. Through multiple international roles, he's developed a deep conviction for global food security and works daily to advocate for this cause. FFA members, prepare to be moved to serve as we hear from our keynote speaker this morning, Mr. Jeff Simmons.
Moments matter. FFA convention moments really matter. In 1985, I arrived in Kansas City. It was my first FFA convention. And man, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't come as a state officer or a national delegate, but as one of thousands of FFA members from across the country. Yes, American agriculture was on its knees. You could feel the anxiety on the streets of Kansas City that year. It came from farms from across the country. I came from a farm in upstate New York that was really struggling. But there's something truly special about these conventions. I remember it happening at my first convention. See, we come here proudly to represent our state and our hometown chapter. It's our identity. It's on the back of every jacket. But when we arrive at the convention, we become part of a vast sea of blue and gold. We realize we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. I remember the song that year that was really popular by Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA. As FFA members, we're all part of one of the most important forces on the face of the earth. American agriculture. And whether we come from one of the most remote rural chapters in the Great Plains, or from one of the fastest growing urban chapters in one of our great cities, when we arrive here, we become one. Moments and general sessions like these, they can create movements. They can create personal dreams. FFA members, I remember. I sat in a seat in Kansas City Municipal Auditorium right about here. I remember it distinctly. I remember the energy, just like this morning. I remember our Secretary of Agriculture on that stage over there. And he walked out there and he talked about how vulnerable our country was and how we needed American agriculture and how he needed us, the next generation, to step up. Then the next speaker was this motivational guru, Zig Ziglar. And I just remember the last 30 seconds. He walked to the edge of the stage. He closed his eyes and he said, I hope you all close your eyes. And I hope you dream big and you dream boldly and you put yourself in those dreams. And you know, for just a couple hours, all those concerns of American agriculture disappeared. See, this crazy thing that happens at convention, you come with a pride of that hometown where you're from. It's on the back of your jacket. You come with the pride of this country, and you mix it with the bigness of National FFA and the bigness of all the aspects of agriculture. That was our convention and our moments. This is your convention. These are your moments. We're going to have some fun this morning. I'm going to crank up some Eric Church, Give Me Back, My Hometown. And I want to hear who the loudest, proudest state is when you see it on the screen up there. And I want to hear that this 87th convention of FFA members will do more than any other members before you. So I say you get on your feet, and I want to hear some noise as we start to crank up this music. Let's go. Let's go, huh?
My hometown. This is my hometown. All the colors of my youth red, the green, the hope, the truth. Beat me black and blue, cause you're in every scene. My friends try to cheer me up. I get together at the Pizza Hut. I didn't have the heart to tell. That was our place. These sleepy streetlights on every sidewalk, side street, shed a light on everything that used to be me. Back my hometown. This is my hometown.
Hey, are you really the next generation that will write the next chapter in American agriculture? Are you? Really? Come on. All right. Hey, listen. I could hear the hometown pride. Here's this jacket of mine. I'm not going to try to get in it. But this is what I wore here in 1985. And there's no question that when you see the back of this jacket, there's pride, right? But today, this morning, I want to turn the jacket around. There's a couple things on the front of this jacket that I want to get to this morning. One is this national FFA emblem, the bigness of what you've got to do and the challenge ahead. And the other is your name. I want to get personal this morning. Is that okay? We're going to get personal. So listen, yeah, we had our struggles and our challenges in 1985, but I truly believe you have the greatest challenge of any FFA generation ever. You have to feed this 9 billion people, the largest on the planet, but listen to me, with less resources than we're using today. And I truly believe you can do that. And don't tell me it can't be done. Because when I sat in that seat in 1985 to now, 2014, hunger and food security is 40% better. We got momentum. We can do this, okay? But I truly believe that we have to find the hunger inside us before we end hunger, and you're going to do it by 2050. I know that. So come with me. Come with me to a mud hut inside one of the largest slums outside of Nairobi, Kenya. Come with me to Africa. His name was Wilson. And all I remember were his feet. Because his eyes were so transfixed on the ground, he wouldn't look at me. You know, he quickly and desperately said, you know, this is my daughter. I was in and out of her life. I didn't do what a father should do. I wasn't here to take care of her. I don't know if she's going to make it. I remember the smell of the mud in that shed that day and the light coming through the door. Wilson sitting on this crate, his daughter, his 8-year-old daughter, ashamed and her head down, not looking at me either. FFA members, it was this makeshift white sheet of this bedroom, and I could see the silhouette of his teenage daughter, and I could hear her struggling to breathe. Malnourishment, the onset of a disease. See, if hunger was going to be my cause or Elanco's cause, I had to go see the 25,000 that die every day of hunger. And in my hunt for hunger, going to Nairobi, Kenya, in a slum in Kibera, one of the largest, in that mud hut that day, in my hunt for hunger, I found shame. Parent shame. But I quickly later learn you don't need to go 4 continents to experience this. See, later, just 4 blocks from our office in Indianapolis, just down Washington in eastern Indianapolis, just down the road in my hunt for the struggle with food inside of cities, right, in urban food deserts, I meet Teresa, this mother of this 10-year-old. And Teresa, again, struggling. Why are we having this conversation? And she has her head down. I remember these white Velcro shoes. And the conversation went through these shoes. And she quickly blurts out, no, I don't typically buy food from grocery stores. It's usually gas stations or convenience stores. And later I learn that she says, I have to use SNAP assistance, food money, to actually get bus fees to get to the grocery store. I later learn, FFA members, that she's one of 2 million families that live more than 10 miles from a grocery store in this country. And she goes on to tell me that, I kept asking her questions about milk and eggs and meat. She goes, I don't typically shop in the outside of the store. I shop in the inside, the center of the store, because I can buy more to fill them up. It's a nuisance. I just want them to stop complaining for being so hungry. And this disconnect for me, I don't know about you, but mealtime in my family is a special time. And for Teresa, it was a nuisance. And then I asked this last question. Teresa, if there's one thing that you could change, what would it be? And she looked up at me. She looked me square in the eyes. Her lips started to tremble and her hands started to shake. And she spoke with the most conviction that I've heard anyone speak. The tears rolled off her face and she said, yeah, I wish I could change the worst time of my day. When I have to send her down that sidewalk to go to school in the morning, I know she won't do well. And it's my fault because, listen, she's skinny in the mind and she's overweight in the body. And she won't do well. And as a mother, it's my fault. And this the interview was over and this paradox comes over me. Undernourished yet overweight. And I walked across the parking lot that day, FFA members, feeling angry, sad, upset. I got in my car and I couldn't start the car. One word came over me and it was wrong. This is wrong. That a mother 4 blocks from my office is 2 worst times of the day is mealtime and sending her child to school. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to play some small part in this story, and I'm not going to rest until I make this wrong a right. And I truly believe that's when we start to discover our hunger inside. And that's the ingredient to end hunger by 2050. And my question to all of you today is this. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? You know what I'm talking about. Deeply passionate inside. Have you heard something about agriculture that upsets you a little bit? Or you experienced, I know a lot of you with Food for All have seen the face of hunger. If so, you're starting to discover your hunger inside. Some of you haven't. I didn't in 1985. Keep chasing it. You will. Hungry people. Listen, we were created to find a hunger and feed a hunger, and when we do, we live the life like we were supposed to, and a life like never, ever you'll live again. It's full life. Passionate people. The leaders of the future will be hungry. Hungry and passionate, they're going to be the creative ones. They're going to be the ones that aren't politically correct, like Donnie Smith last night that told it from his heart to tell our story. They're going to be the ones that are going to be clear, convincing, come up with the next innovations. They're going to be the ones that are going to be leading the communities and the farms of the future. We need that hunger inside. And then when you do, guess what? We tell our story. Oh, we tell our story. We tell it and it's going to be relevant. It's going to be simple. It's going to be personal, right? I always carry 2 headlines with me. What are your headlines? Always to start a conversation. This year I've carried a couple of headlines. One of them is, hey, do you realize I'm in a human pharmaceutical company and nutrition's a big deal? Do you realize 1 out of 2 people are getting the wrong nutrition? From malnourishment and hunger to obesity. And we play in that. Hey, the second thing is, do you realize that this year, 2014, that food costs, meat, milk, and eggs, were as high as they've ever been in the history of man? That's absolutely critical. So what are your headlines? Make it relevant. Make it real. You get me? Just a second. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I have a 16-year-old daughter, Georgia. She Snapchats me all the time. Who Snapchats in here? I mean, I get them all the time. All right, listen, can you help me out here? Can a bunch of you just get up? I'm gonna give her right back to her. She's in class. What's she Snapchatting? Give me something here to Snapchat her back. Huh? Come on. Let's make some noise here. Come on. All right. That's awesome. Thank you. Just a second. I got to put the phone away. You are in class. Okay. Oh, yeah. This thing. This is a tool that you have that, I'm sorry to say, we didn't have in 1985. This is a tool, but this is also a distraction. Do you realize a recent study that just came out that actually, you know what? How many times you actually look at this a day? What do you think? How many times do we look at this a day? Huh? I'm hearing 50, 150 times. I get this daughter, Georgia, she does that by noon every day. 150 times we look at this. This guy right down here has already done it 15 times since they started. All right? Here's another thing. When you're doing that, attention span's a little different. It's a tool, but let's remember the distraction. When I was up there in 1985, 4 minutes we had of attention as a community, as that generation. This generation, including myself, all of us, guess what our attention span is now? Huh? 8 seconds. 1 second less than a goldfish. Yes. Yeah, that's what the study said. I got a better chance and more time with a goldfish than I do with this generation. Yeah. So you have to be real. You have to be quick. You have to be fast. How do you tell your story? How do you tell it in terms of, is it Instagram? Is it Snapchat? Is it Facebook, Twitter? Texting, you got to be able to tell your story. It's got to be fast. It's got to be entertaining. And you got to do it quickly, right? So let me give you my example. My dad always told me, if you can't tell it on a napkin, you can't tell it. I like a Starbucks napkin. So here we go. Here's my story on a Starbucks napkin. 360, 1.5. You ready? Goldfish time. Gonna do it in 6-7 seconds. There's 3 billion people moving into the middle class. They need 60% more food. And oh, we're living on a planet and a half. 4 seconds. How'd I do? Tell me more. Okay? Do you realize that more people are moving into the middle class right now? Better lives, more income. That's a powerful, positive story. More than any time in the history of man will be the next 10 years. Your generation. They then want better food. With better lives, you want better food, right? You want meat, milk, eggs, moving off from rice. That's what American agriculture and what you're going to do, and you're going to provide them. That's a powerful story. But then the World Wildlife Fund says, hey, we're living on a planet and a half. Do you realize on August 22nd, we used up the resources for the year? Can't use any more. So the challenge that you have is how you do more with less. Absolutely critical. So can you tell your story? Can it be relevant? Can it be real and fast? Is it coming from that hunger inside of you? And then I think you do the next thing, and that is tie it to one thing that we all have in common. Everyone in a blue jacket has something in common with the most powerful thing in everybody's life. One of the most personal things in people's lives is food. Whether it's chicken wings at a football game, a glass of water in Africa, my favorite kind of meat or eggs or whatever it is, you connect to food. How do you tell your story through food? It's absolutely critical. So one thing that I'm involved in is this right here, is milk. So here's my story in milk. What's your story in corn or meat or whatever? Tell it in food because people, they pay attention to that. Today we have one glass of milk per person. We need two for the Wilsons and the Teresas and the increased population and this better income. We need that. And so how do we go from one glass of milk to two? That's the gap before 2050. There's two ways. One way is the way our generation has done it. Add more cows, add more land, add more water. We can do that, but it's going to cause problems. It would be 66 million more cows needed to go from one glass to two. You with me? Are you really with me? Come on, you guys are checking your phones. Come on. Do I need to talk to the goldfish again? Come on, all right. So listen, To go from one glass to two, 7 U.S. dairy industries would be needed. We can't do that. The other way is this, and I discovered this. We need this. This is 4 ounces of milk. We need 4 ounces more of milk per cow per day of improvement for the next few years, and we move from one glass to two. Are you with me? You got to get it simple. You got to get it personal. This milk means a lot to a lot of people, mothers all over the world. This is a personal thing. This is my hunger inside links to this. So then how do you do it? And then you got to move to who is doing it. Who are your heroes? Your ag advisors. How about the ag advisors, huh? Are they our heroes or what, huh? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all right. It may be the local farmer. It may be the university. It may be a company. It may be something you found on the internet. But you got to find heroes and stories to say, can that be done? Can it be done? I got a story this summer about this farm, this family farm. And I went there one night on the way to Washington, D.C., just outside of Lancaster, Cochranville, Pennsylvania. All right, where's the Pennsylvania people, huh? All right. So this is what I heard about this farm. First of all, the Neal family. Let me introduce Mary Lou and Neal King. Third generation farm, family farm. Oh, by the way, that's 96% of the farms in the world are family farms. All right, that's how we feed the world, right? With family farms. And oh, sorry guys, but by the way, there's another statistic because Mary Lou plays a big role here. Realize a new statistic too that's real. Around the world, women feed more than half of the world. Women, you matter. Absolutely. Sorry guys. Sorry. So I go milk with them. By the way, when I left, the younger son said, don't lose your day job. This was the most unproductive milking we've ever had here. But I spent 3 hours with them walking around the farm, milking cows with them. Let me tell you about their farm. It's proof of what I'm trying to do here. They have 118 cows. They've had 118 cows for 10 years. Since 2004 to 2014, 118 cows. And in that 10 years, they have improved production from 9 gallons a cow to 10 gallons a cow. Simple terms. They've added 1 gallon over that 10 years. And you know what that equates to? A cup and a half per cow per day on an annual basis. 3 times what we need. So I say to them, how are you doing it? We got done milking. I said, walk me around and show me how you do this. And the very first thing they said, Mary Lou said this to me, is, well, we do what all farmers do. We know how to take care of the animals and the land, and we make sure they're comfortable. We know how to do that as well as anybody, and we make sure there's rubber mats and good ventilation, and that alfalfa field out there, we cut it 6 times a year at the right time. We give them the right food. We use the technology that's safe, biotechnology and reproduction, and through that, it happens. And I left that farm that day, and I look at my 4 ounces of milk now, and I think about the vision of what we can do. And listen, you need heroes. You need these stories because you know what it does? It gives you proof. It gives you credibility. It feeds your hunger inside when you see this. We need the FFA advisors and the chapter advisors and FFA chapters and farmers. FFA, this proof and credibility can come and does come from this organization. And that's absolutely critical. Now it's your turn. See, we can't just tell our story and be advocates. We got to come up with these innovations. You've got to innovate. You've got to help us get to this less. We can't add more cows and land. We got to do it with less. These are some ideas in a word cloud that you've come up with. Love it. Precision agriculture. My favorite is drones. So this is the part of the program where I was going to fly in a drone with a little camera on it, drive it around. My team went crazy that I'd crash it. Couldn't afford the insurance. So I got a video for you, right? So here's an idea that, hey, this is going to be part of the future of agriculture. Drones. All right. Has anybody got a drone in here? I really want a drone. That's something I want to have, okay, to fly around the office. All right? Drones matter, okay? And they're important. But listen to me. This is the serious part of the conversation. If we don't innovate to feed the world, others will. I really mean this. And it could be dangerous to your farms, to your careers, and to your diets. Seriously, there are people out there that don't have what you have. You have the grounding and these blue jackets and what you do. You know the land, the water, the animals, as well as anybody, you must innovate or others will. Let me try to have a little fun with that. We are going to play the first ever little game show here, National FFA Food Choice Roulette, and I'm going to ask a few delegates to join me. You want to have some fun here? All right, we're going to have some fun, all right? So I want to introduce five delegates here, all right? Let me make sure I get their names here. The very first one is from an amazing state, New York State. We got Emma Stein. Come on up here, Emma. Come on, here we go. All right. Hey, the next one is from North Dakota. Where's North Dakota? Clay Olin. All right, Clay, thank you. Christiane Dowd from New Jersey. All right, Christiane, thank you for joining us. All right. How about Dakota Westfall from Indiana? All right, the great state of Indiana. Thank you. And last, Jason Wirtz from Nevada. All right, there we go. Thank you. All right, so what they don't know is this. I have chosen five food choices that are actually potential choices for us in the future. A couple, if you're in charge, a couple, if you don't innovate. You with me? Now, what they don't realize is they're going to have to stand behind these plates in a minute, little roulette, and whatever they get, okay, they're going to have their early lunch. Does that sound good? Or late breakfast? Now, here's the thing. They got to help me, okay? So I'm going to let me walk through the choices. You ready for this? Here's what you're going to eat this morning. And this selection thing is very important. Here we go. The first is rice and beans. Realize this is the meal, on a serious note, for over 40% of the people in the world that live on $2 or less a day. They wake up to maybe only one bowl of rice and beans. The other one, listen to this. One of the most talked about, get ready, you guys, new protein sources, okay? The most socially networked protein, new protein source this year. The United Nations just endorsed it and claimed it as an official new protein source. What is it, FFA members? It is crickets. Yes. Are you guys excited? All right. We have sour cream and onion flavored crickets today. All right? The next is Time Magazine said this is a top 50 breakthrough in innovation. And it's drawn millions of dollars of investment. And it's using stem cells, and it's petri dish beef, or better known as synthetic beef. Okay, so listen, I couldn't get a sample. We tried flying it in, $300,000 for a hamburger. They're still working on the affordability option. All right? The next one is a real big new movement in Europe. And a Belgian consumer organization just said this is the newest qualified meat alternative. It is tempeh, textured vegetable protein chunks. Beautiful. It's going to be a great breakfast or lunch there, right there. Or the last choice is if a Blue Jacket's involved. I could put a lot on the plate. I could put Kentucky Fried Chicken to right? To, I can go down the line. I thought the best thing is a good old American cheeseburger. All right? So those are the alternatives. Now, I need your help here. You got to help them get behind the right plate. But the other thing, listen, I think the most used selfie this year, you know what, I'm not a big selfie guy. I ask these all to commit, no matter what you eat, to come up here with me and sample whatever you get. And we're going to take a selfie, because you know what the biggest selfie so far this year is? Is that Ellen DeGeneres thing that was done at the Oscars. And I think we need a selfie taste in these food choices, right, to create a little commotion. What do you say? You with me? So you committed? You committed? All right, let's go. Pick your spot. Let's go. Pick your spot. Here we go. Be careful this first one or the last one. You know, it's always, all right, are we ready? Okay, here we go. Are we ready? Come on. All right. The first choice is, oh, it's the cheeseburger. All right. Christiane is happy. These four are getting nervous right now. Okay. All right. So now we've got Emma. Emma, what do we have here? We have, oh, it's tempeh. Oh, boy, that looks good. You might want some of that ketchup off that tempeh. All right, the third option is, go ahead, let's see it, Clay. It is rice and beans, okay? You know what that means for you two. We got petri dish beef and crickets left here. Are we ready? All right. Here we go. The fourth option is, oh, it's crickets. Are they moving in there? All right. And then the next option, of course, is synthetic beef, or the best alternative. All right. All right, so, hey, I need you to grab some. You guys want them to get a picture and eat this? Come on, let's go. Okay, just bring your bowl over here. Come on, get a huddle up here. Let's go. I'm going to take my first selfie here. Let's go. Come on. Give me a cricket. Let's go. Come on, let's make the point, right? You want me to eat a cricket? Really? All right, here we go. You ready? Get huddle in here. Come on. Well, get your food up here. Let's go. We're going to take a little bite of this. Are we ready? You're going to get that cheeseburger? All right, here we go. Ready? Huddle up. I got to get everybody in here. Lean over, Christiane. Let's hear it out there in the crowd. Come on. All right. Oh, well done. All right. What do you say for the delegates, huh? All right. Thank you, guys. You can wander off. Help yourself. Everybody wants the crickets. We dramatized a point that I think is very, very important. We can't just tell our story, but we have to act. We have to innovate. We have to develop the next generation of ideas that helps feed this world on less planet, less water, and less land, and less animals than ever before. Are you up for that challenge? Are you up for that challenge? Dude, do you want to own it, or do you want to let some people that don't have an agricultural background like the FFA own it? Do you want crickets, or would you like a cheeseburger? Come on now, right? You have to own this. This is important. Absolutely critical to own this. So, I'm now going to turn to say the power of doing it is significant. And there's no, I think, body that does it better than an FFA chapter. No body that does it better than an FFA chapter. So we have seen around the world, around the United States this year, the things you're doing in chapters is amazing. This Food for All project, 121 chapters and what's been done. I picked out one chapter that I want to highlight that really represents a lot of what's being done around the world here. And that's Tillamook, Oregon. Please welcome Houston Bean and Mr. Sherman, the advisor. Come on, let's go, huh? Welcome. All right. Come on right up here. Hey, listen. Listen to what's going on in Oregon. Listen to what's happening in Tillamook. They have a greenhouse. A lot of you have greenhouses. They decided, hey, we're going to take this another level. We're going to use cattle fodders, and we are going to put them, kind of re-engineer them, and we're going to grow microgreens. We're going to grow broccoli, cauliflower, kale, arugula, and we're going to do that. And hey, by the way, that's not enough. We're going to feed the local food bank. 60 families every week. Oh, no, not 7-8 months of the year, year round. Houston played a big role saying we're not stopping when school stops because hunger doesn't stop in Tillamook. And then Mr. Sherman, and I just want to stop here. Are there heroes and ag advisors like Mr. Sherman that inspire lives? Let's hear it for every one of the ag advisors out here, huh? It's people like him that change lives like us, right? Let's hear it for the ag advisors, huh? Absolutely. That's hunger inside right there. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. So, Mr. Sherman says, let's take this global. He develops a relationship. This isn't enough. They decide, hey, let's go global. He creates a relationship with Kenya. They're exchanging curriculum with Kenya, with a high school there. And they have a vision to replicate this microgreens in Kenya. And you know what happens in Kenya at this high school? Half the people have to quit 6 months in to school because they run out of scholarship money. And that's a meal source as well. And so it's not just hunger, but it's poverty as well. So we've learned, and Elanco and a lot of hunger organizations have, when you break the cycle of hunger, listen to this. You take 100 families, just one family, and for 1 year, food is not an issue. Hope is reinstilled. Right? Grades are better. Health is better. Dreams get bigger. Employment changes. And actually, it only takes about a year, and lives are changed. So much so that Elanco has decided we're going to take 100 communities around the world out of hunger by 2017. It'll change those communities. It'll change us more than it'll change the communities. So working with customers and ourselves and employees, that's what we're doing. We got 50 around the world right now, different places. But you know what? We step back in so much awe here. And we're gonna get behind these guys. And they were Food for All winners in the grant. We're going to get behind and say, hey, let's move those families in Tillamook, Oregon. Let's make that our 51st community. Let's go from 60 families to 100. All right, that's going to happen. And these guys are going to do it. The other is, this is the big one. We're going to get them together. Whether they fly there or Kenya flies here, we're replicating. And a year from now, the 52nd community will be in Kenya. And we'll connect these chapters because American agriculture's got to do this globally. We got to lead globally, just like Tillamook, Oregon is doing. And we're going to actually go and help them support and replicate their model of the greenhouse and microgreens down there. And I'll just end by simply saying this. Hunger inside is represented right here. had a conversation with this man, Houston Bean, very humble. Hunger is bigger than him. Resolve, quietness, but a determination to say, we will do this. And I ask him, what is he going to do? I will feed people. He's found his hunger inside, and a lot of you have. I didn't in 1985. The sooner you find it and chase it, we change lives. And when we change lives like they're doing in Tillamook, watch out. We become leaders that will change the world and end hunger by 2050. This is an example right here, folks, Houston Bean, of hunger inside. Let me hear it. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, my friend. Well done. Thank you. Well done. You guys go right down here. Well done. Thank you. All right. Absolutely. I close very quickly and simply. There are three crucial days in your life, not the day you're born, but the day you find out why you're born, the day you find your hunger inside. Some of you may not keep chasing, you will. The second most important day is the day you decide to feed your hunger. You not just tell your story, but you act, you lead, you innovate, act on it. And FFA enables that more than any organization in the world. And the third day is the day that we're asked, what did you do with what you were given? It's judgment day. And my challenge to all of you is, you know, yeah, history will judge us. The other FFA generations will judge us. God will judge us. And the question will be this, simply this. We have no regrets on that day. We go all out and have no regrets on that third day. And as Zig Ziglar did in 1985, I hope sometime during this convention, you close your eyes and those dreams are big, they're bold. You're in them. You're in them. And you see the role you're going to play, whether it's Monday or 10 years from now. Get in them because you're going to play the role to help feed this world by 2050. If you want to know what you can do, you know, we're handing out over 5,000 t-shirts at the Elanco booth. Join this Enough movement. There's thousands of people all over the world that are saying, hey, join in this movement saying, we've had enough. We've talked enough. We can do this. We're going to do it by 2050. I encourage you to do that. So get to the Elanco booth or get on your feet because we got some t-shirt guns here and we're going to start firing them. God bless you. God bless the FFA and God bless American agriculture. Thank you. Let's go. Come on, guys.